are.
All right. Oh, well, hello, and welcome to episode 362 of the Hooniverse podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Glucker, and joining me, as always, is my man, Ron Ball. What's up, Ron?
Hey, what's happening?
Not much.
I don't know. I'm going to disagree with you already. This should be a celebratory podcast, man. This is we've got bigger news this week in our personal lives than than probably the last couple of years, man.
Yeah, that's right. I've decided I've taken a sponsorship with Bud Light, and if you look behind me, for those of you watching, there is currently no car behind me because the Jaguar has been sold.
Gone.
Yeah.
You did just fine. You made a pretty penny.
So this was going to be the main topic of the conversation tonight because I didn't prepare. And there's tons of Instagram questions, actually, oddly.
Good.
So, yes, I sold the car on Cars and Bids, which was a seamless, easy process.
It seemed like it sold on what, Monday and got picked up on Tuesday? Is that right?
Well, so I was fortunate on that part. That part wouldn't be the same for everybody. The buyer lives a town over. They live in Irvine.
That's amazing.
And they actually, mid-auction, came to look at the car in person.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
So I'm happy. I had a little bit of anxiety selling on an auction platform because I've never done it before.
Of course.
So I described the car best I can. We took really nice pictures, thanks to my friend Mike Villa. But still, like, in person, you know, there's stuff I'll forget. Like, I forgot to tell on the ad that the power antenna doesn't work. But the seller knew because they came here and I told them. I never even thought about it because I've never used it. I always Bluetooth right away, you know. So things like that. They got to see how, like, occasionally, you know, it takes a couple tries to start. Other times it fires right up. They got to see all that. And it was a father and son, and they were buying it for the kid.
Shit. How old's a kid?
Which is, I don't know. Like, it high sounded like age? Potentially like senior in high school.
Wow.
And he is stoked on it. And he considers any issues with it part of the adventure, was his quote. And I'm like, God damn, you are the right people to buy this car then. They're like, we have never seen an XJ. Like, we've never seen this era Jaguar. I'm like, okay, yeah. I mean, you don't see them that much, so sure. They like the wheels. I still gave him the original wheels because I had those. They love the wheels. They love the look. The kid was into classical music. And he tried, like, really? One of the things is like, can I pair my phone and hear the sound system? I was like, sure. I'm like, I don't know if the speakers are aftermarket because I never touched them. I think maybe this car just had good speakers. But the head unit, you know, works fine. He paired his phone. He played a few classical tracks. He's like, this sounds really good. I was like, yeah, I mean, I was surprised too how good the sound system actually is in it for, you know. And they both seemed very excited. And so, you know, bidding got to a point where I was like, okay, we're sitting pretty good with, because all the action's on the last day. So it got to a point with 3 days.
In the last hour, typically. Like, was that?
Yeah. I'll get to that in a sec.
Yeah.
But where it was sitting with like 3 days to go, I'm like, all right, I'm happy. And then it just started going up and up and up. And then when it got to 10, I was like, God damn, it's at 10. And motherfucker, it kept going.
Yeah, like, buddy.
My wife was sending me messages on her because her office is upstairs. She's like, are you talking to someone? I'm like, I'm talking to myself. I'm fucking screaming down here. For those of you who saw the auction, maybe you know, but for those of you who don't, it sold for $14,000.
Yeah, buddy.
And a few people messaged me like, are you happy with that number? Yes, I am very happy with that number. The buyer seems very happy, and they weren't the only one. Like, it was being bid up to that. So other people were going to pay right around that number. I couldn't believe it. And somebody kept coming in, but the person who bought it would jump the bid by like to even like either a 500 or 1,000 mark. So they were ready to jump higher. So they pushed it to an even 14, and I couldn't believe it. And it was them. I didn't realize it was them based on their username on Cars and Bids. So I didn't know who bought it. And then when I got the notice on the back end from Cars and Bids, like, cause they right away, they're like, all right, these are our next steps, blah, blah, blah. Be sure to email and start to, you know, set up how the payment's going to be handled and if shipping's involved and this and that. And right away I saw the name and the phone number. I was like, oh shit, that's the dude who came to look at the car. So I was like, oh man, congratulations. That's awesome. He's like, yeah, that was crazy. That was so much fun. I was like, okay.
More fun for me.
Right. Yeah, seriously. I'm like, if you're this stoked on the car, though, like,
yeah, man,
great.
Glad it's going to a good home. Glad it's kind of local. Not that, there's any implied warranty or anything, but, you know, right. It's just there nice. Yeah, yeah, but, you know, it's just nice. I'm sure that you'll field any questions, like, if they have any issues or have questions about anything, like, you know, you're a phone call away, and not that you're going to go turn wrenches on it, but I don't know. That provides some peace of mind, I would think.
Or
like
I'm being able
to go check
phone.
The thing out.
No, they wanted to know the name of like my mechanic I've used, and I gave them that since they're in the area. I gave him a heads up, like, hey, you might still be working on this car. Yeah. I told them everything I've done to it. Like, they're very aware of what the car is and what the car isn't. And I actually do think, though, it is still a very good example of a V8 swap Jag because it is California car.
I mean,
you know, it's legal. It's got the dope wheels, you know,
it's
got its problems with the little rip in the passenger seat and just general jagginess of it. But otherwise, you know, at one point I thought it could be a $10,000 car. And then I started to sour on that notion as like the market softened a little bit. But then recently a few Jags went for like stupid money on bat, which they normally don't. Hold on, I gotta sneeze. normally Jags don't go for that much just because I think people just don't want to fuck with them. And I get it.
But I mean, your car solves a lot of those problems with the V8.
It does.
It solves general reliability and
it doesn't solve
aftermarket
all
solutions. No, but you know, it's like I don't have to worry about fucking, you know, the wonky electronics and like fuel injection and shit from that era. You know,
there's
but I mean, it's just a little bit more reliable and serviceable.
So. It is 100%. But like when they went to like
fun.
When they walked around the car, they're like, "Oh, can you sit in it and show me that all the lights work?" I was like, "Yeah, of course." And they did, except when I hit the high beams, the two left lights illuminated and the two rights did nothing. I was like, "That's new," because it was. I was like, "What the fuck." God damn it. And I explained to him it was a similar situation. It happened to me when I sold my Mercedes, my 74 Mercedes. A dude came, looked at the car, and I showed him all, you know, all the windows work. And one of the windows, as I was showing him, jumped the track. I'm like, man, it's literally never done that.
Yep.
And he's like, I believe you. He's like, just pop it back on track. He's like, I'm good. He's like, I think your asking price is fair too. Like, we didn't even haggle. He's like, I'll buy it. I was like, oh shit. Okay. So that was great. I still see that car on Craigslist from Instagram from time to time.
Yeah.
It's the first time I was so shocked because when I buy and sell cars, I usually overspend for shit boxes and then know the car is a shit box and then, you know, lose money on the other end. This is the first time I've ever made money on a car.
Well, I'm glad you won on this one because it's a really unique car. I think you took great care of it. You addressed everything that it needed. And, you know, I think it's especially somebody that lives in Southern California and came and looked at it, like knows that it's an honest purchase. It's not a sell and they're getting exactly what they want out of it.
Yep.
You know, instead of it going to the East Coast and like having to deal with weather and, you know, just like, general, you know, I don't know, you know, buyer's remorse from buying something without having seen it and like touched and tasted it and experienced it. So I feel like that's best case scenario for both of you.
Yeah, I agree with you. Also, even they said, and the pictures were really good. The pictures looked really nice, but they said it presented in person better than they thought it would. Even with the pictures, like, okay, cool. Like that's always nice to hear. And
yeah.
So I'm happy for them. And I'm very happy it's not here anymore. The plate is hanging up on the wall over there, kind of hiding behind the Peloton a little bit.
So I asked you about that on Instagram when you announced the sale, but you said personalized plates aren't transferable, but they are if you wanted to.
They are transferable, but yeah, it's not an automatic. They don't automatically.
Right.
Yeah. And I told him, like, hey, he's like, oh, do I get the plates? I'm like, well, when I'm done with the car, I'm going to, you know, it's not mine anymore. So, like, take a look online. And I let him keep the front plate just to have as like a souvenir. Cause I never put it on the car. It was always like tucked in there. But I kept the back plate, even though you're supposed to turn them in. I never fucking do. And I've never had a problem with that. I don't know why. Like there's my Hoon truck plate and there's my Benz plate right there. And those are the back plates with the red sticker, you know?
So did you just keep it as a memento? Why not the other way around? You keep the front plate and then let them buy it or carry over the actual plate.
I don't know what the, I don't know what the process is, and I didn't feel like fucking with it. So I was like, you know, like, I'm like, just try the cat, like get the regular. I told the kid, I'm like, you have AAA. He's like, yeah. I'm like, first of all, good. Second of all, like that's the best way to get plates for a car in California. It's so easy. If you go in, they fill the information. They literally hand you plates there.
Yeah.
If you're getting regular plates. And if you order personalized
plates. You can't get personalized plates through AAA, which is sucks.
Oh, I thought you could, but they just call you when they come in. No? Okay. I've only ordered.
Well, wait, hang on. No, I had to go, at least post-pandemic, I had to go pick up my personalized plates at the DMV. Even before that, no, because I used AAA for DMV services whenever possible, but personalized plates has to go through DMV.
I thought I did it once before, but I know for these plates, I did order online during pandemic, and it took forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when they showed up, I forgot. What I specifically ordered.
Same with my Tahoe. I think it was like a year and a half after I ordered them that I got them.
It was super long. So I was like, hey, just keep, like, if you want to go on the DMV website, like just check, type in, see if it works. But like, yeah, I'm not maintaining an interest in the plates. But I also didn't care to look up the process of transferring it. But sure. Non-personalized plates do stay with the car here in California.
Yeah.
That I do know. But yeah, I'm stoked. And I was originally gonna like right away, like I already had two mountain bikes in the shopping cart, like not to buy both, but I was gonna buy one. I had guitars planned. And as the auction was going up, guitar people listening, I was like, I'm thinking I'm going from Epiphone to Gibson, which is like going from like Audi to Porsche. you know, this the same company, but like there's a model you can afford, and then there's like the one you wish you could afford. But then like I was talking with my wife and it just felt very selfish to immediately just be like, boom, my money's gone. So I'm holding off on the e-bike thing.
Glad you didn't consult me on that.
Well, when I hit 14, I'm like, maybe I can get a Mustang now. So I did think that. I was like, man, fuck all this. I'm getting a muscle car, but, that's not the plan. That is not the plan. Jag is gone. I'm happy. It was a cool car. I didn't drive as much as I could have, and it wildly exceeded what I thought I'd get.
So I know you don't plan on purchasing another car to replace it, but what about putting money into your Benz project? Do you have any of that earmarked for that? Or
No. That's still an ongoing thing. So yes. As soon as that requires more money from me, it's there. So there we're waiting on a few things. I think I've mentioned it on this podcast, but like there is an engine for that car and it's been test fit, but like we haven't proceeded past that because there's other projects in the way. But for all of you who asked me about the Wombat, like there is an engine set aside for it, and so it is happening. It's just taking a very long time. And I actually, when it does happen, my goal isn't to detail that as it's happening. My goal is to be like, surprise, motherfuckers, it's done.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Cause everybody would be like, what? You still have that fucking thing? I'm like, yeah, it's been like 12 years now, you know?
It's like me and my Lincoln.
Or I'll be like, and I'm giving it to my daughter cause she has her driver's license, you know, like it'll be something like that. It'll be daddy's car. So what is going on in your world? Is anything happening car wise on your end?
No, but I've we've talked about this, but I've definitely decided to sell the Audi. It's time to move on and get back into some of my 80s, 90s dream cars. So I won't go into that again, other than say I've had a couple people send me a handful of Silver Arrow SLs for sale. So they're definitely out there, and it's like, depending on the amount of work and detailing and cleaning up and just, you know, touch up that I want to do. I mean, prices right now seem to range from, I found one as cheap as $13K that seems to be all there and like mechanically sound, but it's just kind of rough around the edges.
Yeah.
I found another one. I found a couple others, like ranging from anywhere from 25 to like 40 grand, but like the one for 25 grand needs a new top and probably needs a top hydraulic service. And I'm like, that 25 does not equate to,
it equates to like 35 right away.
Yeah, exactly. To a car that needs probably $10,000 worth of work off the bat. So, yeah, man, just honing in and trying to figure that out and get this thing listed for sale here in the next couple weeks. But, you know, just I finally did my taxes like a lot of us and got a decent refund coming. So that's encouraging, and that'll allow me to kind of address all my projects at once and kind of get in the spirit of building, you know, just upgrading and getting things roadworthy. You know, everything's been kind of dormant for the winter, and you know, now it's spring, we've got nice weather, it's like I'm just much more motivated to get out and work on cars and do shit.
Awesome. I just realized that as I was sitting here too, I never needed to put the 2024 tag on that plate. Like, I could probably sell this shit on Craigslist for like a good amount of money.
Bro, this fucking, they're coded to your tag.
But it's not registered to me anymore.
Good point.
No, I'm not going to, everybody listening, I'm not going to sell that shit on Craigslist.
What are you, a cop?
I'm actually going to, I'll stick it on the side of my garage fridge because I've been putting stickers on that shit. I'm going to do that after this call, this podcast. All right. I'm going to move over to Instagram questions because we do have a good amount of them tonight, which, thank you, it makes my job easier. Two of them came in via like the messaging, which was weird. So let me see if I can find those. I'll try to do those first. 4x4 word asks, how many stickers is too many stickers? That's a tough thing to answer because my Montero is just stickered up. And then this other one from Bertie Redfern asks, just watch the Netflix series Beef. In it, the two main characters both use a paid service to look up each other's addresses from license plates. Is that actually a thing? Here in the UK, only emergency services can do things for obvious reasons. Yeah, you can do that here.
If you have money. I mean, I'm sure with a private eye, you can find anything from a license plate or a phone number or whatever.
But dude, you don't need a private eye. There's websites.
For a license plate?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure. Like, they do, like, crazy lookups.
I don't know. I always thought that was a fucking joke. You know, like, people fucking every for sale ad or every fucking, you know.
Oh, yeah. Facebook, no, right.
Facebook group posts, you know, covering their license plate, because realistically, you've got to know somebody in the DMV that has, like,
yeah, you're right. Specifically, in order to do that. You might be right about license plates. Right. You can look up, like, a lot of other shit. You might be right about the license plate thing, though. I'm curious, though.
Today I was watching Farrah's video with Tom Segura's Dimon 4.5 liter GT3 Touring, and like, you know, in the beauties they made a concerted effort to blur the license plate, but then in like another like panning shot, it's just like, there it is. It's just like, you didn't catch that? Like, what? Why even bother?
He runs Cali plates in Texas. Yeah, I saw it too. I thought the same thing, which is funny. All right. I Play With Cars asks, how are you feeling after the departure of your Jag? Pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking good.
Dude, you were beaming when I joined this call. I was just like, this dude is playing the weekend on guitar. He's smiling, playing music for me. I was just like, yeah, he's having a good week.
Oh, that's shit. So I said I held off on the e-bike. I said to my wife, though, I'm like, hey, I'm going to buy two guitars, though. She's like, okay.
Two?
Well, they're acoustics. Acoustics are like, you can spend a lot on acoustics, but acoustics are, it's a lot less. Like,
but I mean, I'm not doubting the purchase price. I'm not like questioning that. But like, especially if they're both acoustic? Like, what's the different experience?
Six string, 12 string. I really want a 12 string. Oh wow. Yeah. Okay. Because a lot of the songs that I like to play, you learn that like, oh, it sounds like kind of like it. And you're like, oh, they did this part on a 12 string. And I've heard the versions, like the difference, and it's fucking amazing. So I bought an affordable 6-string and an affordable 12 string, both Fenders.
The more you know.
The more you know. Ben, what's funny. I know Ben well. I'm actually drinking a Pliny. He's brought me Pliny before. I never known if your last name is Roger or Roguette. And I apologize for that. But he asked, best press trip. First, Ron, I'll ask you, have you ever had like a legendary work trip?
Yeah, but...
Okay, I'll tell mine. Yeah.
Cannot.
My best one is probably pretty well known on this podcast. It comes down to two of them, really. The best one was the Scotland one with the infamous Scotland podcast episode. But that's because normally, and I apologize for those of you who heard this before, but normally if you do an Aston Martin trip in the States, it's very quick. It's like a night in and out, drive the car, get the hell out of here. This was different. We flew over to the UK. Normally I'm in business class. For some reason I was in first class because that's just like the ticket that was available. So I was first from LA to Heathrow. Fucking great. We got whisked away. We stayed at this like inn that was from the 12th century and it was incredible. And we went to their factory in Gaydon, which is their modern factory. I almost got run over by a robot. And then there was another robot there. They only have like two robots in the whole facility because the rest is still like hand stuff. And the other robot is the bonding robot and it was called James Bonder because they can't not do that. But then we also went the next day, we went to their facility in Newport Pagnell, which is where they do the heritage stuff. So people like English wheels, banging out DB5 panels, like incredible shit. But then the next day we got on a plane and we flew to Scotland. And this was when they revised their gearboxes to ZF8 speeds. And they were transaxles. So it transformed both the Vanquish and the Repeat. It took them from like 4 seconds, 0 to 60s down to like low threes. And it pushed them to like 200 mile per hour top speed. You know, it was way more legit. So we're staying in a castle on the shore of Loch Ness, which is fucking insane. We had a fireside chat one night with the design director, Merrick Reichman, which was crazy. And then one day we drove the Rapides, but the next day we drove the Vanquishes and the roads looked just like the roads from Skyfall when he's going to his family estate. I Googled it. They're not. That was 2 hours south, but they looked exactly the same. When we stopped at the lunch spot, I said, man, I haven't seen a cop on the road the whole time. And the cameraman goes, we know. I was like, oh, shit. Which is good because there's a pack of 5 Vanquishes at one point doing 150 miles per hour altogether. So then we get back to the castle and we had a full traditional Scottish presentation of haggis. Haggis, by the way, is fucking delicious. It's like super sausage. It's basically just like the best sausage. It's so good. And then the guy was doing his whole presentation and we turned to the UK PR people were like, what the hell is he saying? They're like, fuck if we know. It's like, they even couldn't even understand him. And then the rest of the night we spent drinking down by the lock and they're like, Aston Martin butler would run and get us drinks if we got low. And it was like the fuck, it was so cool. Wow. The only one that comes close to that was also Aston Martin at Nürburgring 24 hour. Just because, I was the, we got a special treat we didn't know we were going to get to do where we were at their tech center, which is, you know, off the ring where like everybody's tech center is right there. They had their like original Vantage GT3 car. It's the one that James May drove in an episode of Top Gear when they had to pick the best road trip cars. And he stupidly picked
with the fucking sliding windows.
Yeah. Like where he was naked in it windows. At one point. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was that car. We got to drive that on the B roads. They told us, don't worry, we've changed the seat. But so because I was
beating it?
No, he was just sweating and he was naked. Okay. Everybody else was just doing written and video or written and photos. I was the only one at the time doing video. So I went last on the initial run where it was like down and back. And cause I had to set up GoPros and shit. And I come back. And they're like, all right, we got to change locations to do rollers for photos. We got to go to a different road. Jeff, you're already in the car. Why don't you drive it to the next location? All the other journalists were like, what the fuck. I was like, yes, yes. So I drove it there. There's an entry road toward the ring where all these people were standing and waiting to watch supercars come in because it's the weekend of N24. And I come by in that. And at like I clutched in and revved as I went by them, and like they were cheering, and so that, and then we got to watch N24, and it was absolutely incredible, and so both trips were Aston Martin trips. To answer your question,
that's sick.
Yeah, it was a good one. John Bradley asked, "Jag is gone. What's next? Right now, nothing. Two guitars and a microphone.
Two turntables and a mic."
I got some fixes that are due for the Montero, so I got to do that.
LT4 swap?
Yeah. No, if that was getting an engine, it'd be the R28 Cummins. But
yeah, for sure.
Otherwise, no cars right now. Hopefully the Mercedes happens sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Canadian MR2 V6. Now that the 911 Dakar exists, is it time for a Mustang Raptor? I mean, business case, I'm going to say no, but I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. You know, like one of my favorite cars of all time is that Thomas Crown Affair Shelby lifted with the fucking roll cage and the spare and like the big BFGs. Like,
yep, that Gas Monkey built one.
That's what I hate is that Richard Rawlings has the other one. And like, I think he's made a couple of them.
It's incredible.
I don't know. That makes it less cool to me. But yeah, it's a fucking sick car. Perfect stance. Like, you know, the use case for that movie, like, oh, I'm on my private island. We've got these dirt roads. Yep. Like, it just doesn't get any sexier than that. But I don't know. A modernized version of that could be cool. I don't see the point. Just like I don't see the point of the car. But, like, you know, that doesn't mean they won't sell them and there's not a business case there.
It'd be, you know what, if they want to do it and really, like, really fuck with people, do it with the Mach-E. Just, you know, see what happens.
Yeah, that would be way less cool.
That electric torque would be pretty sweet. I'm with you on that. Thomas Crown Affair Mustang is one of my favorite movie cars of all time.
Yeah.
100%. It's so badass.
Yeah.
Pretty cool project. How bad do you want a Suzuki Jimny? I want to drive one. I don't need to own one.
Yeah.
How's that?
Like, my buddy Abimelech Design, he went off-roading this past weekend. I saw on Instagram, and it looked like they had a Jimny and, like, hitting some dunes. He's down in Mexico, so I assume they're, like, Baja and, like, hitting some dunes. And, like, they got an F-150 stuck, but, like, hit the dunes, like, you know, full speed in the Jimny. And it just, like, it looked fucking perfect for that. Yeah. It looked super cool. Like, it's just, like, you can't get in too much trouble in one, and it just looks fun.
Because we like going to Costa Rica, not that we go a lot, we've been twice, but if we go back to Costa Rica because we want to, and we don't, my wife doesn't like to repeat vacations because she's like, well, there's so much to see. I'm like, that's a good reason. Even though there are places I want to go back to, she's like, I'll go back to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
If we go back again anytime soon, I'm renting a Jimny this time for sure.
Yeah.
APV 420TO asked, total expenses for that Jaguar. I actually didn't keep track this time. And I stopped keeping track on the Montero, because the Montero is way more. It wasn't that bad. I did an O2 sensor. I did some basic maintenance, swapped out an alternator, an oil change. I had to get the AC fixed. That kind of sucked. And then we had to get the cooling fans working. So the cooling fans and the AC were the two biggest things. I paid a shop to do the install on the head unit, which it wasn't a big deal either. And it introduced me to a good shop that I've since had stuff done on the Montero.
Yeah.
The expenses weren't that bad.
Yeah.
Lynn Woodward asks, is a GTS too much car if you're not tracking it? 100% no. It is the perfect car.
911 GTS?
Probably any Porsche. I stand by my assertion that the GTS is the perfect all-around trim in any model that offers a GTS trim. Love it.
I mean, I can't disagree with you because I've driven so few modern Porsches, especially like this latest generation. But like, I don't know, a GT3 Touring over a GTS?
No, if you have the money for GT3 GTS Touring, over yes.
GT3 Touring.
If you have the money for the GT3 Touring, absolutely. It's I'm an atheist, but it is God's own chariot. You know, like, yeah, it's that good of a car. Yeah. But like, the GTS though is literally the perfect all around daily. The problem with the GT3 Touring is that it is so fucking, it is, and it's not a problem. It is so good. So yeah. Yes. But it's just a different stratosphere of cost.
I got you. Yeah.
But GTS,
I mean, I have no idea what the GTS retails for. So I didn't know what that gap was.
The GTS is like 150 probably. The GT3 Touring's closer to 2, and there's definitely, whereas you could probably get a GTS. You can probably get a GTS. You can't just get a GT3. So like, there's more on top of it.
Yeah.
Greg C. Catch asks, heard something about buying 6-packs for Hooniverse staff if the Jag hit 10K. Know anything about that? Someone in our Slack chat was like, if this hits 10, you owe us all 6-packs. And then it was like, it just kept going. If everybody who is listening to this from Hooniverse wants to, because I always forget everybody's email address, or your address, maybe I can do something about that. I would send you guys 6-packs regardless. You get a question from Josh here, because he's an asshole. It says, this is for Ron. Do you want to leave Jeff on Dirty Six to fend for himself? He's talking about Austin.
What? On Sixth Street? Is that what it means?
He's acting like he's lived there for like 10 years.
Right.
He's like an Austin local, and I don't even think he's been there a year. Are you coming to that?
Answer yes. Yes to both.
Are you coming?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. I didn't know if it was for sure. Yeah.
I just haven't bought flights, but I committed. I told him I'm down.
Then did I send you my flights?
You did. Yeah.
All right. Try to fly.
I'm excited because I haven't been to Sixth Street. I haven't been to Austin since 1999. So it's been
That's been ages. A while.
And I'm dying to get back there. I know it's a completely different city, but
on the same flights. Let's do the same flights.
Okay. Yeah, so for sure.
Beverages on the plane.
Will do.
All right. Taylor 356, can you reveal the price you were hoping to get for the Jag? This is going to be funny because there was a point where I was ready to just say, fuck this car before I fixed a few things. I was ready to sell it to fellow journalist Sam Smith for like $3,000.
Jesus Christ.
There's another point when I was shooting photos with my friend Mike. I'm like, man, I don't know. I hope it hits like 5. I'm like, maybe it gets 4. He's like, I'll buy it for 4. I'm like, you know, keep an eye on the auction then. So
I knew it was going to go for 5 digits, and that's why you offered it to me for 5. And I was like, that's tempting, but A, I don't have space for it. And B, I know you'll get double that if you really, you know, put some effort into selling it. So
I didn't have the faith. I just didn't see Jags doing that well. And I know from my own experience, I'm terrible.
But yours is not just a Jag. There's an ass for every seat, and that thing definitely, you know, has a unique but passionate, like, I don't want to say following, but like, you know, like customer base, like, that it appeals to.
Yeah, someone was like, dude, you need to leverage your fame and really put that out there. I'm like, I'm not famous. Like, like, if they find out it's my car, they might want it less because they're like, oh, he did burnouts and shit.
No, but I think forget fame, but there's a certain amount of value added by being a journalist car and being so transparent and, you know, just being in the automotive industry. Like, it's like, you know, I would trust a car from you more than I would trust a car from any regular Joe or like a shop owner or something like that. Like, you have a reputation to uphold, and like, you're not going to sell a fucking lemon and put something misrepresent it. I think, you know, that's the difference.
That's a fair point. I never looked at it from that way about the like, oh, this dipshit sold me this car and the wheels fell off. You know, like, okay, that's a fair point. I can reveal. So I bought the car for 6 and then did a few fixes. So I'm obviously I'm pretty good ahead. I think I bought the wheels for like $1,000, but I got the tires for free, you know, shit like that. So I honestly, once it hit 5, I was happy, and I said the rest was gravy. I'm like, right. Oh, I kind of hope it gets to 6. And then like when it was sitting at like 6 for a few days till we got to like the weekend, I was like, oh wow, somebody like over the weekend jumped into 7,500. I was like, dang, that's crazy. And then Monday came and there was an hour and a half to go. And I was like, oh, okay, it's sitting at like 7,500. Like maybe we'll get to 10, but like, okay, you know what, man, this is pretty great. And then like with 40 or so minutes to go, shit popped off. Yeah. And I couldn't believe it. It was just
I love watching these auctions that like I don't have a vested interest in, but just like my friends' cars and shit, and like cars that I'm interested in, because it's wild. That last, like, even like the last 5 minutes is just like, yeah, boom, like it extends like another 15-20 minutes. Like it's so fucking fun to watch that number climb.
Yeah, I sent Doug a note on Instagram too. I was like, hey dude, thanks for putting the description he wrote, because Doug does all the descriptions, the initial.
Oh, he does, really?
He in every listing on Cars and Bids, there's a little paragraph called Doug's Take, and he writes about it. And at the end of this car, he wrote, and it's also being sold by a personal friend of mine. I was like, dude, thanks for putting that in there. So yeah. I don't know if that helped the price at all, but like, I appreciate it. I really did appreciate it.
Again, added value and just like, you know, trust factor.
Yeah. And I can't say how easy the process was as a seller. It was like they had back end assistance assigned to your listing, and they accepted mine right away. Probably because you just don't see a lot of them. So I don't know if that helps. Some other people are like, some guy wrote a bad review of Cars and Bids because he was like one of like 5 lightnings trying to sell that time. So, you know, but whatever.
Know your audience and your platform.
Exactly. Mystic Negro asks, I'm really thinking TE37s for the Fat Mustang. Please tell me I'm being dumb. So for those of you who don't know, his Fat Mustang is, I think
BMW 850.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's the M, right?
I don't know. It might be like M Sport or whatever, but it's not the M8.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
850, so V8 M Coupe. V8 8 Series Coupe. I'm sorry.
Dude, I am very much of the... I personally think TEs look perfect on everything, so...
Yeah, I don't have a problem with TEs, except that they're just ubiquitous and they're everywhere. I'm just tired of looking at them.
Sure, I get it. I haven't seen one.
He asked me for options, and he was perusing our website for stuff. And like, I have some options, but you know, they're not for everybody's taste. So I'm just like, dude, don't feel like you have to patronize, you know, my brands. And like, if I had something that I thought was perfect for it, like I would recommend that. But like, no, I don't know. That's kind of I have something in the works, but we don't really have the most appropriate wheel that I think like is a performance and aesthetic match for that car. But you cannot go wrong with TEs. Like, you know,
no,
I don't know which finish you go with. I mean, his car is like a light blue. I think bronze would look great on there, but tired of seeing it personally.
Yeah, no, I hear your reason is fair.
They look good on everything, but that's the thing, you see them on everything. So now it's just like, it's like the American Racing Torque Thrust. Like,
yeah.
You get tired of seeing it. That's me personally.
I think it'll look dope. I say go for it.
Yeah.
Joshy Rides asks, why Bat and not Cars and Bids? I just think the Cars and Bids is more open-minded, if that makes sense. The commentary I see
The way you asked it is why Bat, not Cars and Bids?
But yeah, Cars and Bids. I think he means the other way around. Is the way I read the question. I read it how he wrote it.
Right.
But I think he meant why Cars and Bids and not bring a trailer. So yeah, that's what we're going to assume.
Yes.
For the purposes of this podcast. I just think the bring a trailer commenters all consider themselves experts on the subject matter. And sure, some of them probably are, because the eyeballs that bring a trailer gets and the dollars that it fetches. And however, I feel like my car would have been, even though I presented it super fairly, so I could be wrong, but there's such a discerning, like there's almost a level of snobbery on bring a trailer now, where Cars and Bids feels more fun. Prices feel more realistic, which is why I'm still shocked my car went for what it did. The prices feel more realistic. And it's just a generally a happier place in the ongoing commentary on a specific vehicle.
I just agree.
Yeah.
I think it's drivers versus like Concours, like level cars. It's just like, you know, if you want a car with provenance, like you go and look at Bring a Trailer. But if you want a car that you can drive and enjoy, that's represented fairly and in good shape and, you know, hopefully reliable, then Cars and Bids is your place.
Yeah. Yeah. But either way, like I said, great experience, had fun. I think it was a great experience because of the outcome, but
of course,
regardless of that, like I said, the back end side of Cars and Bids was seamless. Sellers don't pay fees. Buyers pay the fees.
Yeah.
For them to be able to bid, they have to have a credit card on file and there's a hold, you know, so it's real bids coming in. And,
well, and I got lucky. It's the same on Bring a Trailer. I mean,
oh no, I'm sure it is. Yeah. Yeah.
But the, I don't know, like speaking the little personal experience that I have, a friend of mine sold a car on Bring a Trailer in February and the buyer reneged and just ghosted them, and Bring a Trailer collected the buyer's fee. So they were just like, sorry, sucks for you. Like, we can relist it for you. But like, you know, like there was no compensation for the seller for having gone through this whole process. And like, I know they had to take tons of pictures, retake pictures. And like, you know, they had to jump through all these hoops to list this vehicle. And it took months to get the listing up because of the backlog and because of the required pictures and, you know, all these just red tape issues. And they finally sell the car and like do very well and sell for more than what they expected. And then the buyer just ghosts, like, set up transportation, everything. Like, here's where I want it shipped to. So he shares his address and it's like, okay, just send the rest of the money, like send the money and like, we'll set up shipping. And completely ghosted and just stopped returning calls, emails. Bring a Trailer couldn't do anything, but they collected their like $2,000 or whatever the buyer's fee was. And they were just like kind of throwing up their hands. Mm-hmm. Like, sorry, dude. The best we can do is relist it for you or connect you with the second highest bidder.
Yeah.
Like, second highest bidder wasn't really interested at that price or really interested in negotiating. You know, like they were hot to trot for a minute, but like a week or 2 weeks later, they're just like, yeah, I moved on. Like, you know, I'm not really interested in that anymore. And,
oh man, I'm sorry.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if they're a victim of their own growth. Like, I don't know if they just grew too fast and they're just too big and they just don't care anymore. But like, you know, that was really disappointing to hear. And it made me want to, if I ever am either buying or selling, like want to deal with someone like Doug Site or something on a smaller scale, because you know, when there's no recourse, when somebody ghosts you and just like basically ruins your fucking auction, like that's really disappointing. That's a tough pill to swallow. Suck.
My buddy Tom, who you never met, he moved back to Chicago. But I don't know if you remember, I did some videos on this 68 Firebird a long time ago. It was my buddy Tom's car. He is finally thinking about selling his car. And he's like, dude, when he saw what happened with mine, he's like, should I use Cars and Bids and sell my? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I can't recommend enough that you hire a photographer. The photos totally matter a lot. He's like, well, when are you coming to visit me in Chicago? I'm like, I can take photos if you want. But I love Tom's car because it's a 68 Firebird with, it's got the correct 350, but it's got the 400 hood, which is like a different hood. But at the time when he was still in Huntington Beach, I got him like a half off deal or something. And I think it was like, it was a crazy deal. Either cost or half off Hotchkiss full suspension, and they did the install and I did video of it. So this like unassuming Firebird has a full Hotchkiss suspension underneath. Cool. And he redid the interior. So the interior's clean. It's an automatic, but you know, whatever. I think it's an automatic. Yeah, it's an automatic. And he's like, what do you think it's worth? I'm like, I don't know, man. Like with that, because it's not an actual 400 and it's not a Camaro, because Camaros get the money. I'd say you're at 25 to 30, because that suspension is fucking killer. And he's like, yeah, that's where I'm thinking. He's like, I would never accept less than 20 is my absolute bottom, which I probably shouldn't say, you know, loud, but I'm like, dude, you never know. Like your car might do amazing on bring a trailer, but you're going to wait a year for it to fucking go up. But on cars and bids, you know, like you might like that suspension is incredible underneath that car. So
speaking of Hotchkiss, do you know if they recovered that? What was the Cuda?
No, I don't know. When I was talking, Challenger. It's a Challenger. I love that car too. I've driven that car.
Yeah.
I spent like a week with that car. I love that. That was like just a glorious time with that car. That I drove that car to my first ever television appearance, actually.
Yeah.
He's still a news person for NBC. NBC LA. John Caddy's Klimak. He was doing a segment and we connected. He's like, dude, you want to come up and just be like an automotive expert on air? I was like, okay. And I'd never been on camera before. I'd never been on camera. Like real camera, not like GoPros and shit. So I was like, okay. He's like, all right, you got to get here. You got to get to the LA Auto Show at like
5 a.m.
4:30, I think. So I left Huntington Beach at 3:30. I fired that car up in my driveway because I was like, fuck all you hoes. Boom. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I got to go. Sorry. And then that drive, like there were no cars on the 405 except one low rider. And we both just gave each other a head nod. And I was like, what are you doing, man?
Random. Was he going to LA Auto Show too?
I don't know. I drove that there, parked it in like just the parking lot at LA Auto Show. And like people were like, so at the end of the day, I got to go back out and drive that thing home. And when I saw that thing was stolen, it was like just absolutely heartbroken. If we're talking about Hotchkiss, has a Challenger called the E-Max Challenger. It's their yellow, like they autocross it.
I mean, it's been a company car in like test bed for like 20 plus years. Like I remember that car, I feel like in the late 90s, maybe like early 2000s, like it was like one of the first pro touring cars.
Yep. It's so good. It's so awesome. And it's such a goddamn shame that.
Yeah. I forgot where it got stolen from.
Scum of the earth stole their entire trailer. I think there were two cars in the trailer.
Damn.
Just wild shit.
Your story reminds me of, I think it was the 50th anniversary of the Challenger. And through Musto, I was invited to bring my Hellcat to like a small gathering at LA Auto Show, like the morning before the show opened to the public or whatever. I think we had to be there at 5 or 6 or some shit like that. And Alana brought her car out. And I think Mike was there with his Demon. And I just moved to Long Beach and I woke up late and I detailed the car the night before and I wake up and I'm like, fuck, I got to hustle. I got to get there. Like, you know, I haul ass. I got from downtown Long Beach to the LA Convention Center in 20 minutes.
Oof.
Oof. Streets completely empty. Nobody around. I just like hauled ass on the 405 and the 110. And I got there and I made it like 2 minutes like before they closed the gates and I was the last car to pull in and it started raining like just as I was pulling in. So like I had to clean the car all over again and it was a wild story, but like it was cool to connect with like all the people from Mopar and shit and like have them check this car in. Like I'm like literally the last person to pull in and they like put me right in the middle like at the end and it was just like a prime parking spot, but it was only because I was the last motherfucker to show up.
Right.
But blasting. I still have the video of starting that car in the parking garage at like 4:40 in the morning or whatever it was. Oh. And I was just like, sorry, neighbors, but gotta do it. Like,
that's awesome. You know,
that car super fucking loud, but it was almost the exact same as your Challenger experience.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fantastic. That's all we got for this week. Thank you for tuning in. I know it's a shorter episode, but we're still at 48 minutes, 50 minutes. So that's pretty good. Thanks. Like I said, I'm thinking of some new t-shirt ideas. I got nothing on the brain at the moment. I was trying to do a play on the Moon Eyes logo where it was like a sun and it was screaming because it was burning. But I don't have the artistic talent to make it. I don't have the artistic talent to make it work.
Let's have a sidebar and you tell me what you got and I'll try and sketch something.
All right. I had like this like horrible Photoshop design I drew up. I'm like, just like to give to an art. I'm like, can you make this, but good. And I deleted it. I was like, this is fucking awful. I think I deleted it. I must've deleted it. Right. Let me see if my Photoshop. Yeah, I must have, because Photoshop won't even pop up right now. Yeah, I definitely deleted it. Okay, so yeah, that's all we got. Episode 362. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you all next week. Is going to be tough because I'm traveling. So just stand by.
Yeah. Later, player.
Bye.